Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, October 10th, 2016. Jesus Christ! Holy shit! Follow the fucking ball! Who else yelled that near Knoxville, Tennessee, when that running back fumbled the ball and your quarterback is trying to, God bless him, is trying to pick the ball up? Why won't they fall on the fucking ball? Everybody's just like, oh, I can pick it up and then run with it. Just fall on the fucking thing. It's the shape of the fucking ball, too. Even if you fall on it, it somehow fucking squirts out. Oh, you die a thousand deaths. There's three things that have probably brought me closer as far as sports goes. Just generally speaking, week after week, like a bad cigarette or drinking fucking problem, right? The three fucking plays that get me, I don't know what gets you. I don't pretend to know who you are, and I would never speak for you. However, I am willing to share with you, oh, what the fuck did I just do? There it is. Sorry. Yeah, I swear to God, I can't get this fucking thing to do anything, but if I brush up against anything, the whole fucking screen disappears. You know, like people who suck at playing video games? You know what I mean? If you're playing like one of those fight games, the other guy's kicking your ass, you just start fucking hitting a million of them, and all of a sudden like these clouds start forming around your guy, and he does a little fucking, I don't know, spinning back fist with his foot, whatever the fuck that's called, right? That's what happens to me with computers. And you never know how you just did it. Everybody's like, oh shit, what the fuck is that? I don't know. So anyways, the three things. How's this for controlling my ADD? I'm going to stick with this here. The three fucking things that just make me die a thousand deaths is deaths, plural, yes, is because 1,000 is more than one. Stay on target, Bill. Stay focused. Is not falling on a fumble. Dropping, you know, catching a fucking ball, running to the end zone, returning a punt, returning a kickoff, running with the fucking... Running backs rarely do this. It's always fucking receivers and people who return kicks. I think they're called kick returners. For whatever fucking reason, I don't understand why these motherfuckers, they get to right to the goal line and then they, boop, they just drop it right on the half-yard line as if they bet the under. That kills me. Like, how many, like, you would think, like, the first time you saw somebody do that, you'd be like, oh my God, I'm never fucking, that's not going to be me. I'm going to run to the back of the fucking end zone. Then I'll fucking spike it. I'll drop it. I'll do my little fucking moonwalk, whatever the fuck it is. All right? The freckled fandango, whatever my end zone dance would be called. I don't even know what fandango means. I just know it's an old Kevin Costner movie. That, and then finally, my favorite and yours, the prevent defense. The fucking we'll give away the middle and we'll give them a fucking 30-yard cushion. And rather than them scoring on us on one play, they'll score in five plays. But the amount of clock that they're going to eat up versus the points that they're going to score is slowly going to kill everybody in our fucking fan base. You know what I mean? It's really hard to tell. Fucking voice. It's really hard to tell that I'm not through puberty yet. It's really hard to tell, like, truly who is a great quarterback in the final 2 minutes of the game ever since the prevent defense. Because I think back in the day, I mean, I know that they didn't want you to get behind him. They must have done some early version of it, but there was like a few guys that would go down the field. You know, your Roger Staubachs, your Terry Bradshaws, Kent Stabler, you know, but everybody else, I mean, there was like three or four guys that could do it. And now it's just everybody in the league because they're just going to, I swear to God, I'm going to go a little Mike and Mike here. I'll tell you right now, you could put me under center during the prevent defense. I could complete a fucking pass as long as they didn't know that it was me. That was not a professional quarterback, that this is actually a podcaster slash comedian slash crafter of shit jokes. You know, then of course they just play defense. You know, they blitz or whatever the fuck they would do. But if they gave me the respect of an NFL quarterback, I could dump it off. That shouldn't happen on any fucking level. So whatever, I was watching that, the Tennessee, Texas A&M game. What a fucking game. You know, I want to say that Tennessee shot themselves in the foot with their 58 fucking turnovers, but you got to give it up to Texas. I mean, they just kept making them happen. You know, I mean, I want to think that somebody on the coaching staff or the Volunteers said, hey guys, Let's say we protect the football. Let's say the next time we gain 80 yards on one fucking play on this team, we tuck the thing away. You know, put two hands on the fucking ball. I know that they were saying that. Yet the turnovers just kept coming. You know, it was just, I don't know. It was fucking an amazing game. And I have to tell you, coming from a professional sports city, you know, the safe suburbs, as I always say, ever since Good Will Hunting, everybody thinks you grew up in Southie, you stole cars, you're good at math, and you like apples. That's not me. That's not the guy I am. I grew up in the safe suburbs. There was street hockey. There was Little League baseball. We had a great place to get ice cream, you know. Not saying that there weren't fucking maniacs, you know, that later got into fight and accidentally bit people's ears off because they were biting on the ear and the guy would go to push him away and then part of the ear would come off. I'm not saying that people like that did not come from my town. I'm just saying, more so than not, people did not bite other people's ears off. Now, you're getting towards the, you know, downtown area, like, the, you know, who knows what the fuck would happen. All right? That's all I'm saying. Anyways, let me get back to this shit. So, coming from the safe suburbs of a major fucking city that's a professional sports city, I can't believe that I haven't watched college football. Like, I've been watching it since 2007, so I'm almost a decade in, but the years that I lost, it's a fucking travesty. I'd watch it a little bit, but I have to be honest with you. If you watch SEC football, if you watch the Vern Lundquist, Gary Danielson, if you just watch that game every week, okay, which is usually a fucking SEC game, you watch an SEC football game, I'm telling you, the NFL in this time, this particular time, cannot fuck with those games. They're unbelievable. They're just fucking, even last week, that was an ACC game. The Clemson-Louisville game was fucking crazy. I mean, it kind of helps this year. Somebody was bringing it up that everybody seems to be scoring 30 and 40 points. Speaking of which, what the fuck happened to the Oregon Ducks? Did the whole team from last year just say, yeah, we all want to be eligible for the draft? I don't know what happened to them. What's going on with you, Cleo? You're all fucking itchy. All right, just lay down, buddy. Lay down. You don't know how to come up on the couch. You don't. Your idea, you can't just have your part of the couch. You come up here and then you you're all over me. I understand it. I like you, but I got a podcast too. So go lay down, buddy. Go lay down, buddy. Go on. There you go. Anyway, so I ended up watching the Tennessee game at home in Los Angeles. Now, some of you, if you listen to this podcast, you're like, well, wait a minute, Bill. How the fuck were you at home on Saturday?
Saturday.
As they say in the Boston area, why don't you come over on fucking Saturday? There's one little consonant in there. It's Saturday. Come over. Come on over on Saturday. He was supposed to be down in the swamp at the Florida LSU game. That fucking stadium, I've wanted to go there since Emmett Smith played there. I always loved the colors, the blue with the orange helmet. Emmett Smith was the shit. I've wanted to go there for fucking ever. They've always had great teams. Florida football has always been, it's just my whole, probably since my teens when Jimmy Johnson, how about them Cowboys, came into fucking University in Miami. Then you had the other guy there at Florida State, Billy Bowden, whatever the fuck his name was, who couldn't, his field goal kickers were always wide left and wide right, you know. I've been wanting to go to that stadium forever, but of course the hurricane came in, and you know, one of my buddies was saying, you know, early in that week, like we get so fucking crazy excited, because that's like, you got to have this as a guy when you get older. You have to have that thing that you do, the guy's weekend thing. As fucking corny as they try to make it sound, as much as it sounds like a fucking beer commercial, like, those are the things, and women should have them too. Whatever it is that they want to fucking go do. I know it involves wine, their own way of getting fucked up and everything, and they like, you know, food and all that shit. I like to stand out in a parking lot in the elements, eating stuff that I don't really know what they put in it, like hot dogs and that type of shit. So anyways, we're getting so excited to go to this fucking game. My buddy got the tickets. Somebody else handled the fucking car service to get over there. And I went out and I got the cigars. All right, I came in there loaded for bear. I got a hookup. I'm not going to say who, whatever. I had some fucking sticks. All right, I had some fucking, just picture every fucking brand of Cuban cigar that you know. Cohibas, Partagas, Partagas, however the fuck you say it, tomato, tomato. I had Monte Cristos. I had some fucking tremendous sticks. And I brought enough. There was five of us. I brought 15 Cuban cigars, right? We could each smoke one every fucking night. And each one was going to get progressively more insane. Start with the mild one Thursday, go a little medium. And then the fucking, you know, we just, I don't know. We just fucking won a world war. That's the one you got to smoke on the game, on day game, right? So the beginning of the week, we're all fucking amped up. We're texting each other and everything. And then my buddy who lives on the East Coast, because everybody out on the West Coast, we don't pay attention to the East Coast. You fucking get up 3 hours before we do. By the time we have a cup of coffee, the day's half over. There's no point of even reading the newspaper. Everything has already progressed like another 12 hours. So I didn't pay attention. My buddy texts me. He goes, there would have to be a fucking hurricane this weekend. And I was like, get the fuck out of here, right? And the game plan was we were flying into Atlanta. And like assholes, we booked our Atlanta, we were doing a gig, and then we were going to Gainesville to do the show. But like assholes, we didn't book hotels until the last second, and already 100,000 people coming in to see the fucking game. There was no hotels. So guess where we got our hotels? Take a wild guess what Florida city we got our hotel rooms. Jacksonville, Florida. That's where we were going to go. So we were going to fly down from Atlanta and then pick up a rental car, drive over to Gainesville, do the gig Friday night, drive back, drop off the rental car, go back to the hotel, smoke another stick, fucking jump in the car service, go over there and see fucking a legendary football program in the greatest conference that's out right now, the SEC, right? So I hear the hurricane's coming, so I go, all right, you know what? They're probably going to cancel a bunch of flights. Fuck this. So I get a rental car. Oh, Cleo, please don't puke on the rug. Do you need to go outside, buddy? What are you doing? Huh? Was that just you or was that me? That was you. You okay? Don't step in the recorder. Cleo. God damn it. Just sit down, dude. Just sit down. Just sit down, please. Can you please sit down? Sorry, guys. Anybody else's dog eat grass, even if they're not feeling well? Even if they're feeling well, they just fucking eat grass. Why do you do that, Cleo? Huh? Sometimes you just talk to them, they get so focused on you and they put their ears up. No, go lay down, Do you need to go upstairs? You want to go see mommy? All right, hang on a second. All right, come here. Go on, go see mom. Oh, that was a great move. Oh, fuck, she did puke. Puked up something. All right. There goes that sock. All right. Anyway, so that was the game plan. So I was like, all right, so, you know, they're going to be overly cautious. They're going to cancel the fucking flights and blah, 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 blah. So we'll just fucking drive down. Well, everybody's leaving the hurricane. We're going to fucking drive down the 75 South. Well, so we fucking land, and they're supposed to make a decision Thursday at 1 o'clock, and they don't make a decision. So me and Bartnick are in the fucking, lobby, and we're excited that they didn't make a decision. We're like, yeah, dude, come on, man, this is the South. They're playing this fucking game. They don't want to cancel this fucking game and have to fucking refund 100,000 tickets or try to figure out when to reschedule. They're fucking playing it. And we got excited, and we had hope, and then the whole fucking thing. It went up to a category 4 and it all fucking went to shit. But I got to tell you, actually, if I was even trying to drive down to the South, like they evacuated so many people smartly, by the way. I mean, only 3 people died in a category 4. Well, you know, down in Haiti, like, you know, a couple hundred, they said even more died. Granted, we're first world. We have better structures and that type of shit. But, you know, back in the day, I mean, that would have been us. Like, I was thinking about that. Back in the day, like, you know, when you didn't know a hurricane was coming, I mean, you saw, like, signs, but, like, by then you only had, like, 6 hours to try to get the fuck out of there. What am I trying to say? Long story short, is even if we try to drive south, they just completely closed off the southbound 75 at some point, and it was just like all of Florida driving up. So it didn't work out. So then we were like, okay, how do we save this weekend? Because my buddy, the one who told us about the fucking hurricane, he had not even left yet. So he's at home with his wife and his kids. He's a total family man. And once a year, he goes out, you know, has some beer, smokes a stick. It's just, you know, and he goes, this is the one weekend where his kids didn't have any sports. All right? We got to make it happen for this guy. So we start looking around. Where the fuck can we go? The Georgia Bulldogs home? No. They're in South Carolina. South Carolina is 3.5 hours away. Let's fucking drive to that one. And then we find out it got fucking moved to Sunday. Fuck. Can't go to that game. What else do we got? UNC. I just went to UNC. I don't want to watch them play Notre Dame. Notre Dame stinks. Or is that NC State? NC State was playing them. I was like, look, dude, I'm not driving into the fucking Carolinas. The fucking storm is coming up that way. All right? What about Tennessee? Let's go to the Volunteers. Fuck it. We'll do it live. Right? Let's go to where we're all fucking, we're in a panic. Who's Tennessee playing? Texas A&M. The Aggies. Great fucking game. Where are they playing? College Station. Fuck. All right. Who's next? Who's next? Alabama. Alabama. The dream ends tonight. Where are they playing? Who are they playing? Where are they playing? Arkansas. Where are they playing? In Arkansas. Fuck. All right. Auburn. Auburn. War Eagle. War Eagle. Who do they got? Who they got? Mississippi State. Mississippi State. Where are they playing? Auburn. Mississippi State. Shit. All right. It was just fucking the three of us standing at this fucking, over this sports page, trying to salvage this fucking weekend, looking, everybody was away. The only way to get to any of the games that we wanted to go to that weren't in the path of the fucking hurricane was that we were going to have to fucking, you know, we were like, Clemson, what about Clemson? They're playing BC. Ah, they're going to kill them. Where are they playing? Boston College. Shit! Right? Over and over and over, right? So the only way we're going to get to them is if we fucking, you know, I don't know, if we jumped on a plane, and I was already not working the next night, so we're just going to hang in Atlanta and then jump on a plane. It just, it got to be too fucking crazy, but for half a second, we did consider the Alabama-Arkansas game, but so it didn't end up happening, but, you know, what the fuck are you going to do? It was still great. You know what was cool? When I got home, I got to chill with my wife and I got to watch all those great games, and I didn't have to be in the path of a fucking hurricane. I wasn't another asshole that the poor fire department had to try to fucking rescue because I didn't listen to their warnings. You know what I mean? And so anyways, Jesus Christ, that storm is fucking nasty, man. My condolences to anybody down in the Jacksonville area. You know, I hope you made it out all right as far as, I mean, pretty much people made it out, but I hope your stuff is all right, because God knows those fucking insurance companies, you know, they just, oh that, yeah, we don't cover that. You ever see that that one that Spike Lee made about New Orleans, where they're like, they just were looking at the water line? We'll cover anything below the water line. They're like, anything above it, it's your fault. It's just like, you motherfuckers, man. Like what kind of people are you? You know, I don't know. Anyway, sorry. Can you tell I'm also typing in my password here? So anyways, oh, I got some more iPhone stories for you. I got time for a quick iPhone story. So I got the iPhone 7 now, all right? And I want to thank everybody who tried to help me out with even the condescending ones or this new generation people who were saying they were cringing. Me and my boy, I had to tweet, my boyfriend works at the Apple store, and I work at the Apple store too, and we both cringing as we were listening to you talk about, like, why are you, you're cringing for, I wouldn't cringe for you. Like, if I watched you two geniuses try to change a fucking tire or drive a stick shift, as they say you millennials can't do, if that's the truth, I wouldn't cringe. I'd try to teach you how to do it. Cringing. I felt so bad. I was so awkward. I really think this whole generation, the reason why they're always using that term awkward is because they were so sheltered that I don't think that they kind of work shit out amongst themselves as kids the way we did. Now, granted, my generation was too far the other way. They didn't know what the fuck we were doing. And I think with millennials, there was an overcorrection. I think this next generation, they're going to get it right. It's like, you know, you can't have them fucking joining, you know, those groups where there's all these pedophiles. You know what they are. I am not going to say them. One rhymes with the Rubs Louts. The Rub Shouts. You also don't want to, when they're very young, it's probably not good to have them take a karate class. You know, shit like that. The kinds of places, and then you can just say church groups. Church groups are another big one. You just can't have them fucking, you know. But you have to let them play outside. You got to let them solve shit, you know, interact with each other and shit like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think we went too far the other fucking direction. And I can say that having never had a child. So anyways, somebody told me that, you know, when I sat there and I counted all my contacts, I didn't realize, and this is all shit you guys can laugh at me about, but I know there's a lot of you, especially in my generation, do not know this. If you scroll down to the end of your contacts, it'll tell you how many you have. I was off by one. I said 113. I had 114. Who knew? Who the fuck knew? And by the way, if you didn't use the cloud, getting all your contacts back, not a big deal. Not a big deal. It's just as you need the person's number, you're like, fuck, I don't have the number. Who do I know that knows him? You just, you know, by then you have that person's number and you gradually put it all back together again. It's so it wasn't as bad as I thought. And then somebody gave me a great suggestion saying, well, there's these places you can go to that they can retrieve lost data or whatever the fuck, whatever the computer term is that. So I might try that with my phone. I have not turned it on since then. I'm going to try sometime like Tuesday morning. Hopefully I can turn it on and grab a couple. you know, the guy who used to work on my truck, he moved to Arizona. And he recommended this great place here in California to tune it up and all that type of shit. And I lost his fucking number. And because he's a crazy car guy, like his website still has like a fucking California number. So I should probably just give it a try. But anyways, so I had to get the iPhone 7 because I fucked up my phone. I got it all wet and shit. And so now this one's waterproof. So they had this little fucking umbilical cord off of it. And I was sitting there going, there's no fucking way I'm not going to lose this thing. I have to be on my best behavior with this. So I was literally carrying that little cord around in the iPhone box with me while I was on the road, because I was too paranoid to even leave it into the phone because I was afraid I'd go to put it in my pocket, it'd pop out, I wouldn't know, I don't know what. So I somehow make it across this country and back. I still have it. I went back to my house to use my gym, you know, instead of finishing up the fucking kitchen, you know. And I had it there. And I went to grab a few things and I don't know. I got back to the place that I'm renting and it was just gone. It was gone and I started to have a meltdown and I was just like, this drives your wife nuts. Don't do it. Don't fucking do it. And I tore apart everything. Couldn't find it in the house. I drove back to my place. I couldn't find it there. And I just said, fuck this. And I drove over to the Apple store and somewhere over there, I just got into this fucking Zen place. I was like, dude, this is 100% your fault. It's not Steve Jobs' fault. It's your fault. You should have just left the fucking thing in your phone. I'm sure you can pick up the phone and fucking shake it. And I'm sure nothing, you know, I'm sure it probably doesn't even come out because they probably already knew that that was going to be a fucking concern. So I drive over there. You know, I pull in. I just said, fuck it. I valet my old Prius, dirty as shit right now because I still have to get the dents taken off from that fucking road rage cunt slammed into the person, two people behind me. So I just got that thing. It's got dents. I'm getting it pulled out while I get it washed. So it's really looking bad. So I pull in and the valet place at the mall, they go like, yeah, what's your phone number? And I'm just like, yeah, none of your business. I go, I don't give out my phone number. That's what I used to say. Now I just go, I don't have a phone because they're just going to call you. And it's just, they're just all of those things, by the way, all of those phone numbers and all of that shit, I'm telling you, it all gets bundled and it gets sold. There was a lobby. There was something going on in Washington with what they were saying, what I was saying much more intelligently and written down on paper, saying that you ought to get a piece of it. If somebody's going to sell your information, shouldn't you get a cut? Right? 10% something. I'm sure that got shot down. But anyways, so I just pull up and I just say, yeah, I don't have a cell phone. So then they just take your name down. And there's always ways to get around it. You just say, yeah, no, I can't do that, right? So I go into the Apple store and I walk up to one of the geniuses and I said, yeah, hey, I need the little fucking umbilical cord. And they said, that'll right there over there on the wall. And I just walked up and I grabbed five of them. Okay. I grabbed five of them and I grabbed this other cord where it was, you know, where you can plug it into your phone and someone else can also plug their headphones in while you plug your headphones in and you can both listen to the same song. Now I did that because whenever I'm on a plane, he's always like, listen to this song. Isn't this a great song? And I was just like, I'll get that one for her. Right. So I walk up to one of the dudes with the fucking iPad and I just say, yeah, hey, I want to buy these. Right. So they're all looking at me like, what the fuck? Right. Why do you have so many? It was two geniuses and one of the people who was just trying to buy some shit there. And one of them finally goes to me, he goes, I got to ask you, how come you're buying five of these? And I was like, because I know what kind of a moron I am. And the dude was like, what? I go, everybody's a moron. So you got to include me. So you got to figure out what kind of moron you are. So I'm the kind of moron that's going to lose at least four of these in a year. So I'm getting five. And they all fucking laughed. And I joked, and I somehow was able to joke my way through the whole fucking experience. I kept it light, and I didn't lose my shit. Except when I got into it with that one guy. I forgot, when I was driving back, this guy came barreling up the street, and I live on a street where it's one of those streets where it's like, it should be one way, but it's two way, and he came flying up, and I was rushing over, so I just had to slam on the brakes. I just kind of gestured like, really, dude? And I back up, and then he pulls up alongside me. His big fucking Jaguar. And he goes, yes, is there a problem? I go, yeah, man. I try to stay calm. I go, yeah, man. I go, you're driving too fast through the neighborhood here, blah, 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 blah. He goes, I go, you know, it's a one-way street. He goes, it isn't a one-way street. I go, yeah, but with the cars parked, you know, I go, you're coming through here like 30, 40 miles an hour. He goes, this car won't go 40, which I don't even know what that means. Won't go 40 on this street. I have no idea. I was just like, dude, there's kids on this street. And then I lied. I go, dude, I have a kid. Just trying to make my argument better. He goes, I got three kids. And he holds up the fingers, too. Like, I go, all right. And then he just said something. He goes, now do you feel stupid? That's what he said to me. He goes, now do you feel stupid? And I wish I could go back to that moment and just say to him, like, dude, I always feel stupid. But this has nothing to do with that. Dude, you're driving like a fucking maniac. You got three kids. Yeah, I bet they don't live on this street, you cunt. And I was trying, because I've done this before with people on that street. I just speak in a slow tone. I'm just going, dude, I got kids. You know, I just lie. And I say, I got kids, plural. Just totally lie out my ass. The reality is, I don't want to have a head-on collision with somebody. So, you know, last couple of times I did it, even like the young punk kids and shit, you know, with the fucking hats that match their fucking shoelaces, even then they feel, all right, cool. All right, sorry. You're like, yeah, cool, no problem, you know? And this guy just wasn't having it. He just goes, now do you feel stupid? And then I just, once he said that, I go fuck yourself. We both fucking drove away. So that did happen. On the way over this. So anyway, so I go to buy all of these fucking things and I'm making fun of myself. Because guys, I'm really trying not. I mean, it's funny when I do it on stage. It's not funny when I do it in real life or around the house. I'm really trying to work on my temper. So I was making fun of myself going, yeah, I'm the kind of fucking moron that's going to lose four of these in a year. So I'm buying five. So they all laugh. And the guy's like, all right. And I go, what's that going to be, like $7,000? And he said, no, it was like 75 bucks or something. These little ass fucking wires, five of them, like 25 a whack or 20 a whack, whatever the fuck it was. But plus I had the other thing. So I go to open my wallet to take out my credit card. And what is sitting in the fold of my wallet is the fucking attachment I couldn't find. I must have put it in the same pocket. And I just laughed. I go, see, right here. Look at this. There it is. Now I got six. I'm a fucking moron. They were just all laughing. It made me feel good. Even though they were laughing at me, it just made me feel better that, you know, I don't know. I gotta learn how to fucking do that, man, because I am a lot, you know? I'm funny on a podcast. I'm funny for an hour. But after that, dude, I can be a lot to live with. So anyways, I'm working on myself. I'm actually considering going to speak to somebody. And, you know, because I swear to God, like I have two things I want to do. I want to just actually sit down and maybe read some instructions on my iPhone and actually make it something that I can use. And computers, actually maybe learn about them rather than screaming to anyone who listen about robots and being microchipped, you know. And then also I would like to if I could just have the same sense of humor I have about big shit. When big shit happens, I do not flip out. Little shit happens, like I lost a fucking little cord on my phone. I fucking lose my shit. So if I can just somehow, you know, not lose my shit in the car and the technology thing, those are my two biggest fucking goals. If I could just laugh my way through that shit, I would be, I'd be a much better person. I think I'd be a lot easier to deal with, you know? And I'll just go after it the way I go after other shit. I've never really tried to fucking, like, full on try to fix my temper the way I try to lose weight, work out, play drums, or whatever. By the way, dude, I am in a fucking Iron Maiden rabbit hole right now. Clive Burr, the whole fucking Number of the Beast album. It's just, I can't stop listening to it. That and Peace of Mind. Nico McBrain. I am fucking, yeah, that's where I'm at right now. But anyways, let me read a little bit of advertising here. All right. Oh, here we go. This is becoming a new favorite here. People are loving this, huh? Give me the loot. Loot Crate, everybody. Are you looking for gear, collectibles, houseware, and more from your favorite pop culture franchises? Well, if you're not, you're listening to the wrong advertisement, because that's exactly what this is about. Because these people have you covered. Loot Crate offers a range of geek and gamer items for less than $20 a month. Want to bring your loot to the next level? Get a bigger box with an even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. I got to go fucking Google image. Like, what are they? They send you a bunch of, like, Spider-Man lighters and shit. You know? How big is this box? What's in the box? If you're more the type to wear your geeky heart on your sleeve than Lootwear, our monthly wearables and accessories subscription is the droid you're looking for. Oh, I see. They have different options. That chill running up your spine isn't your imaginations. It's Loot Crate's October theme. Horror. We're taking over 40 years of creepy, campy, bloody icons and putting them in this month's crate. Joe DeRosa would love this shit. Channel your best. I saw him at a festival the other day. He had a Halloween 2 fucking shirt on. And I know him so well. I go, let me guess, Joe, that's the one you like the best. And he laughed. He goes, it is. And I go, and you're wearing that because you want to argue with somebody that is better than the first one. He just started laughing. You think I'm a contrarian? I tell you, I pale in comparison of that fucking shoulderless man. All right. Channel your best final girl with items from The Walking Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Halloween. You have until the 19th at 9 Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, then it's over. Make sure to head over to www.lootcrate.com/burr and enter code BURR, B-U-R-R, to save $3 off any new subscription today. Speaking of which, has anybody watched Luke Cage yet? I love that I brought that fucking dude up a long time ago on this podcast, man. That was one of my favorite comic books was the Spider-Man and Power Man one, where it was about the NYPD Fire Department. A buddy of mine actually ordered it on eBay and got it for me, man. I hadn't seen that since like 1978 or 80 when it came out. And I watched the first episode. I liked it. They did the usual shit that they do with superheroes, like you know, we just sit there like, will you fuck this chick already? Why are you letting this guy slap you in the head? They always have him do that shit before they just fucking, you know, throw somebody through a wall. I watched that, and I also watched Westworld, which, you want to hear something hilarious, I loved that movie when I was a kid. I loved Yul Brynner, was huge. I mean, nobody said draw like him. When he could draw, he did this fucking, he just had the best voice ever. Badass with the fucking shaved head and all that shit. I love that movie to the point, I remember like 15 years ago, not 15, it was probably like 10 years ago, I actually called my agent and I said, hey, how much would it cost to buy the rights to Westworld? Because they just started redoing all these things. And I'm like, there's no fucking way you could make a killer movie out of that. And of course they came back. It's like $9 zillion. I didn't realize it was a Michael Crichton book and all that shit. So I obviously didn't have the money. And thank God I didn't have the fucking rights to it. Because I have to tell you, I watched the first episode of Westworld. They completely 100% took it to another fucking level, updated it. It's unbelievable. I actually liked that pilot better than the Luke Cage one, slightly better. I thought the Luke Cage one was the shit. So now I got two new shows, bang, bang, to fucking watch. Definitely check those out. And if you want to laugh, by the way, I ran into a buddy of mine, Willie Barcia, who I haven't seen in fucking forever. He's the real deal. He's a fucking hilarious comedian, and he has a stand-up special that he just put out, and I wanted to give him a shout-out if you get a chance to check him out. All right, let's get back to the advertising here. All right, Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Guys, you know to go to Dollar Shave Club for a fantastic shave. What you probably don't know is that they have other amazing products, too. The quality is the best on the market. Their body wash is great and won't dry you out. Won't dry out your skin. Their pre and post shave stuff keeps your skin soft and smooth. Do you know that they made me a custom Dr. Cavi's Easy Shave Butter? They put the whole label on it and framed it for me. Really cool fucking people at that company. Dollar Shave Club's got stuff for your hair, for your face, for your underparts, for everywhere you need to keep feeling and looking fresh. Keep you feeling and looking fresh. I just get worse every week with these. Once you're in the club, you'll see they've got the best grooming products out there, and they're affordable. Right now, your chance to see for yourself why so many people love Dollar Shave Club. If you're not a member yet and have never joined, now is the time. You'll get your first month of razors for free. Just pay shipping. That's after that, it's only a few bucks. Join today. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. And the next one is, how many more of these are there? I always try to break them up, but there's a lot. Well, let's do three and two. All right. Three against two here. All right. Blue Apron, everybody. Not all ingredients are created equal. This is like reverse JFK. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. So it's important to know where your food comes from. Talk about your personal experience with Blue Apron. The meal you cooked, the ingredients overall, how it tasted, how it felt cooking it, etc. Well, I haven't used it yet, but it sounds amazing. How about that? That's my experience. I made a potato pancake for the first time today, gave it to my wife, put a little salmon on it with some fucking, what's that white shit, sour cream, and a little bit of dill on top. All right, couple eggs over each, and I gave it to her, and I actually walked out of the room because then I had to make my eggs. Because how do you make four fucking eggs over easy with the standard frying pan? You can't do it. Somebody has to suffer. So I came walking in afterwards, and I tried a little potato pancake. I was like, that tastes pretty good. And you know what my wife said? She said, that was better than the one that I had at brunch. Bam! Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, when you start making meals like that for your lady, everything else goes to the next level. All right? I wish that there was a Blue Apron when I was a kid. Christ, we had to grow our own fucking potatoes. These people are going to bring them right to your goddamn door for less than 10 bucks per meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. What sucks the most when you're fucking making a meal is taking out the little fucking measuring cup and the little fucking teaspoon. Was it a teaspoon or was it a tablespoon? Fuck! They eliminate all of that. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranches. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. Customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Dude, this is a great fucking way to get in shape, too. You don't have to go to the grocery store. You're eating well. You're making the ladies fucking like you. Or the fellas, way to his heart, right, ladies? You know, not trying to be misogynistic, not saying that a woman should actually go out and maybe cook her man a meal every fucking leap year. Choose delivery options to find your needs. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. That's the shit. Check this week's menu out for... and get your first three meals for free with shipping, with free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/burr. I always picture you guys squinting as you try to hear me read this. Come on, Bill, get through one sentence without stuttering. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/burr. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, and then we just got two more. I'll read those later. Is something done? Are the cookies done? What's going on here? By the way, what was I going to say? I weighed myself today. I'm in the buck 70s, which is perfect. Get myself, I want to be 172. I think I'm going to come in about 175, but that's fine. All right, that is going to be fine. Tipping the scales at 175. As long as I got that 7 as the second number, I'll be all right, you know? But I'll tell you, my walk around weight's about 210. 210 if I could eat and drink the way that I wanted to. By the way, guess what came the other day? Guess what came? I ordered it back in June. My Jaguar came. I fucking picked it up today. I can't, I'd like the Catholic guilt that I fucking had that I actually went out and fucking, you know, did this, but it wore off the second I got behind the fucking thing. I came walking into the showroom, dude. I ordered the color, everything. Underrated. Under fucking rated. Ordering a car. You just go to the website, everything that you want, you just fucking order it. It's like Blue Apron, except it's a fucking car, right? Everything is perfect. This fucking car, oh my God, it's fucking insane. I'll post, am I going to post it? I don't want to post a picture because no one has this color out here. I'll be like that chick driving around in that pink fucking Corvette out here. But even Nia, because she's all like, you know women, dude, like when a guy gets excited about some stuff, I swear to God, it's like you're looking at another woman. They always got to fucking take you down. It's kind of cute and kind of annoying, you know, but I'm mostly annoying and way less cute. So I, you know, whatever. And so I come walking in, they got the whole, they actually backed it into the showroom and they put a car cover over the fucking thing, right? And they fucking did the unveiling. They took it off, dude. It's just fucking, I don't give a shit. It's the British Racing Green with the black rims, black grill. I got I had the analog gauges. I didn't get all-wheel drive because I wanted the rear end to kick out a little bit. I got the rear wheel, 390 fucking horses. I'm going to take it over to Galpin to get a new exhaust system on it because right now it's a very refined sound. I like a little more of a growl in it. It's dude, it is the fucking shit. It's like, what if Steve McQueen drove a fucking, what if Steve McQueen drove a Jaguar and had two kids? Because it is a four-door. Let's not get crazy, Bill. Let's not get crazy. Dude, it's fucking awesome. And I love it because everybody out here that has a four-door sedan either has a Mercedes, a BMW, an Audi, and then to a lesser case, a Lexus. But that's more of a younger person's car, I feel. Those cars are all fucking great. And a lot of ways, like those have kind of become the muscle cars of today, are the four-door sedans, which is perfect. You can actually put somebody in it. It's like an adult person's car. Oh my God. Like I absolutely in love with this car. So, it was fucking hilarious. And I got the price I wanted, everything. So then of course, dude, I did everything right. I got the floor mats are, they're not like the carpeted ones that after a while they start wearing out and everything. I ordered these rubber fucking mats that look like the shit. They say Jaguar on them. And they actually, they're a little bit different color black than the carpet. So they kind of pop a little bit. I mean, the car is the fucking shit. And it's going to kill me the first time somebody opens a door into it. But I always just think of the way Steve McQueen drove that car in Bullet. The way those good old boys drove that fucking 69, what was it, Challenger. They fucking broke one of those every week. Fuck it. You're supposed to drive it. I remember Fast and Loud one time, they bought a Ferrari, like F40, and the frame had been bent and all that, and they saw it, and they were all laughing. They were just going like, you know what, dude? If you buy a car like this, at some point, it should look like this. Obviously, you shouldn't crack up your car, but they're meant to be driven. But I don't know. I can't believe that I have that nice of a car. So I want to stop before I keep fucking gloating about the car. Thank you to everybody who ever came out to one of my shows and watched my shit and told people about it because, I wouldn't have that car if you didn't. So thank you. And I'm actually going to miss the Prius though. I'm actually selling it to a friend of mine. So it's getting a good home. And I got to tell you, underrated, the fucking Toyota Prius. I had 9 years, 85,000 miles on the fucking thing. I changed the oil. I did everything on it. It's a fucking... That thing will go for 200,000 miles easy if the next person changes the oil and all the lubricants and all that type of shit. Just regular maintenance and all that type of stuff. But they're just fucking great cars. You know what I also found with the Prius, dude? When all my friends found out that I was getting a new car, I had like half a dozen people going, dude, what are you doing with the Prius? I'll buy it off you. All these comics are loving it because it has good gas mileage. they actually have a decent resale value. So the amount of shit that those cars get, man, they're kind of a good investment. They're fucking cheap. They're cheap on gas. Like, I the whole fucking time, every time the gas went up and went fucking crazy, I never paid more than like between 35 and 38 bucks is the most I ever paid. And the rest of the time, it was about $27 to fill the fucking tank. And when it would drop really low, like when we would start producing oil and then the Saudis would be like, oh, fuck, let's put them out of business. And then they would overproduce, you know, all the fuel and all that type of shit. And then it would just plummet. I mean, there were days I filled that car up for like 18 or 19 bucks. So I'll definitely miss that thing. But this thing is just, oh, it's just fucking, it's a beautiful car. Red calipers. All right, let's plow ahead here. I have yet to watch the Japanese Formula One. I feel like I got you guys all excited who are into that type of racing, or into racing, I guess, just to say. And I've dropped the ball on Singapore, Malaysia, and now Japan. It's just because this fucking house I'm renting, this guy has like cable from like the fucking 1800s. And I got all the races taped. I've watched Singapore. I haven't watched Malaysia yet, where Lewis Hamilton was going to win the race, and then for whatever reason, his engine just fucking blew up. I have no idea who won the Japanese one. I haven't gone on the internet. I'm not looking at my Twitter feed. I'm going to watch that tomorrow. And me and Nia actually knew a couple people that were over in Japan, and I was, you know, they're having a baby or something, so they're doing a baby moon, which I guess is people, before they have a baby, they go some fucking place, and you know, they're in Japan. So I was saying to Nia, it's hilarious. Typical guy shit. This is typical guy women shit. Like I say, oh, fuck, they're in Japan? Well, text so-and-so. Let him know that the Formula One race is there tomorrow, man, and that he should go. And then my wife's just like, immediately, just looking at like a chick, like, yeah, she's not going to want to do that. And I'm thinking like, yeah, but he would. Fucking guys like into motorcycles and cars and off-road. Why the fuck wouldn't you want to? Dude, go to a Formula One race in Asia? Are you fucking kidding me? I'm telling you, if you're not into that shit, you got to watch the Singapore race was fucking incredible. Like they do it at night, and then after when the city's beautiful, right? Granted, you're not allowed to do anything, and one of the guys spit gum on the street, and they fucking detained him for 6 hours. I think they were just showing off because when I was there, I was like, I heard if you spit gum on the street, you get arrested. They go, nah, they'll give you a fine or. It's not like that. Or maybe they were soft pedaling at the hotel so you wouldn't be afraid to go out and go spend some money. I have no idea. But all I know is this one of the fucking guys from either Ferrari or Mercedes or somebody spit some gum out and they fucking detained him for 6 hours. But anyways, they ran it at night. And that city is gorgeous at night. It's beautiful. And then when, who won that one? Nico. When Nico Rosberg won that race, they just shoot off all of these fireworks, man, and they go all the fuck out. And so I've yet to see the Malaysia one, so I'm going to watch that and the Japanese one tomorrow if I have the time. All right. What else? What else did I want to talk about? What else was a big... Oh, you know what I started to watch? I started to watch before I came down. I'm taping this... taping this Sunday night. I started to watch the Trump-Hillary debate. I mean, I just still cannot fucking believe these are our two choices. And, dude, Trump, I got to give it up to Trump, dude. That guy's one-liners are just for a politician. Jesus Christ, he's fucking, he kills. The guy fucking kills. He's great on his feet. He'd make a terrible president. He's got no idea what the fuck he's doing or what he's even talking about. It's just like the dope versus the devil. You know, and I know everybody, oh, that old fucking, you know, that shit that he said, I just go up, I grab him by the pussy. I mean, nobody just does that. I felt bad for Billy Bush. You know, he was just sitting there. He's like, he's sitting there, some fucking unknown 2005, you know. He's still kind of unknown. You know, Billy Bush, I'm going to talk about people who are in movies. He's not in a movie, you know. He's a talking head. Cut the guy a little slack. He's sitting there with the Don. The Don's talking shit. He's talking about women, you know, as guys do. I just walk right up and I kiss him. I grab him right by the pussy. You know, Billy's just like, this is Donald Trump. Like, you know, you get caught up in the fame. Oh, yeah, grab him by the pussy. He just went along with it. You know, stay strong, Billy Bush. You shouldn't have deleted your fucking Twitter account, man. You should have hung in there. Fuck these people. They get mad for like 3 fucking days. You know what I mean? It's unfucking believable. He's going to get more shit for that than fucking Hillary's going to get for the goddamn, you know, classified fucking emails. Classified information through her own fucking email. And just somehow that all goes under the rug. I cannot stand. I can tell when Hillary's lying too. That smile she does, you can see it in her eyes when she's lying. And Trump is like, I just don't. He's like a fucking cartoon character. Like Alec Baldwin as Trump is more believable than Trump as Trump. That's how fucking nuts this guy is. So I started to watch it. Oh man, Trump had some funny ones. He said to Hillary, he said, if I was running this country, you'd be in jail. You know what's funny? To really see how hard Donald Trump goes, there's a clip. I don't know if you can still find it. The first time Donald Trump was on Letterman, and Rosie O'Donnell had said something about him, and he went off on Rosie O'Donnell. And he goes, well, you know, she's a degenerate. And like, it was just so over the top. Letterman was laughing, just going like, Donald, you just can't go around saying that about people. And he's just like, yeah, no, it's true. She's overweight. He just fucking like, just no filter, just went right after him. And he hasn't changed at all since he's become a politician. Having said that, like, I, you know, doesn't mean he's going to make a good president. He's just, you know, I can't get past how many overtly racist people love the guy. And that's always a major red flag. You know what the fuck it is with this fucking election? It's like you either got the guy that's going to rally up the fucking neo-Nazis, the guy that rallies up the white guys that think that there's something being taken away from them, you know, or you got Hillary, you know, but he's actually, you know, or you got Hillary who's actually she's going to be in bed with the corporate cunts. Up at the fuck, it's like a lose-lose. Either you got somebody like rallying up this fucking cesspool of people at the bottom, as far as mental, I'm not talking financially, mentally speaking, or you got Hillary who's just, you know, she's going to give them their wars, she's going to let the fucking robots be made and all that shit, you know. I don't know. I don't know what that, oh my God, it's just fucking, it's, and her fucking pantsuits, that's the only thing I like about her. I love the pantsuit. If I was a chick, I would wear fucking pantsuits. I mean, you got to go with it. At some point, as a woman, you reach your pantsuit age, and you just got to give into it. That's like a man. At some point, you got to stop wearing your tank tops, and you got to put on a sport coat. All right? Try to keep the carbs low. Do the best you can. You know, at some point, you just get to that fucking age. So I know a lot of you are like, why didn't you bring up the Tom Brady's back and all that type of shit? Because you know what? We played the Cleveland Browns. No disrespect, but Cleveland Browns are where they're at. And congratulations to the fucking Indians. You guys looking like you're kicking our ass. We're down 0-2. I watched like Pedroia's first at bat and the plane landed. So I missed all of that game. I'm missing every fucking game because this guy doesn't have a goddamn. I mean, this is when I come in with my brand new Red Sox hat. But I do know the Blue Jays were up 2-0. I don't know what's going on with that series right now. They were up 3-2 the last I saw in game 3. But Tom Brady's back. Gronkowski's back. We won. Buffalo's on a tear. They're looking good. I don't know. I was just great to see Brady back. Yeah, it's unbelievable. That whole fucking thing. That's I'm telling you, I give it 20 years and then NFL films when they look back on it be like, do you think that was fair? Do you think it was fair that one of the greatest players in the history of the game had his entire fucking integrity questioned by one of the biggest scumbags to ever own a fucking team? Who basically hired a guy that for an in-house investigation. I mean, I cannot fucking wait for that. How old will I be? 68. All right. Tom Brady will be 50. All right. 60 Minutes, everybody. All right. Hey, Bill, I saw your tweet about 60 Minutes about the talking robot piece. Yeah. Charlie Rose was sitting there talking to this artificial intelligent robot that really moved bad. Speaking of fucking Westworld, right? And he asked the robot what its goals were. First of all, that a robot would have goals like a person. Okay. And the robot said, my goal is to one day be smarter than human beings. So I tweeted, you know, I basically tweeted, please unplug that fucking thing. Right? So he goes, I come somewhere between unplug it and fuck it. It seems like everyone knows the machines will be our doom, but I feel like everyone involved and even everyone else just looking on has a, but will they take over type of curiosity. My question, I don't know what you meant by all that. My question to you is that if in 10 years the robots are filling in as clerks at stores or working the lobby of hotels, would you be comfortable as a customer in those locations? Also, I highly recommend the new Westworld remake on HBO. Yes. I thought that was Netflix. My fault. HBO. It's totally up your alley, and I'm sure you remember the original with good old Yul Brynner. How funny is that? Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I already talked about it. I loved it. This is what I think. I actually think that that those robots will make human beings obsolete. I know that sounds fucking crazy, but they will, okay? And they don't have to sleep. They don't have to fucking do anything. They'll outwork us and all that type of shit. And they're going to act like then we finally get to sit around and chill out, right? Like that was the big promise of all of this technology that was going to be coming out in the future. I mean, there's always technology, but the newer technology, the technology of the future, you know, the 3-day work week. They used to make fun of that on the Jetsons. Oh, these 3-day work weeks are brutal. People are working more than they have ever worked in their fucking lives in this race to, I don't even know what the fuck, why the fuck, can somebody please tell me what the fuck we need robots for? What do we need any of this shit for? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like somewhere in like the mid 90s, like that was good. We advanced enough with cars, travel. We advanced enough with medicine and that type of shit. I mean, basically from 1995 on, if you're fucking dying, then I mean, I don't know, the amount of shit that you could sidestep, tuberculosis, polio, all of these fucking things, all those plagues from back in the day, they were all gone. I mean, something, I don't know, it's hard when it's somebody you know and love, or obviously if it's fucking you, but like, I don't know. I think the population, I've always talked about it. It's a major fucking problem, and I don't know how they go, like, I just feel like those things will come along and they'll just be like, well, you have those things that don't need to, they don't need a flat screen TV. They don't need any of that type of shit. They can do the work of 10 people, or let's say they can do the work of 4 people. Then there's 3 extra people out there, isn't there? Or there's 4 extra people out there. Let's fucking cut this thing down by 25%. I mean, there's already too many fucking people walking around. You can have a bunch of robots walking around too. At some point, something's got to give. All right. And I can guarantee you one thing, robots are never forming a union. All right. They're not gonna. So I think they'll be smart enough to not get them to do that. But the greed of going after the dollar and making one that's just a little bit better, just a little bit better, like these fucking iPhones, I think we could get ourselves into a tough situation. And here's a question I have. If you kill a robot in the future, like, is that going to be considered property damage? At what point will that actually be considered murder one or murder two or robot slaughter? They'll have to have all these new laws. You know what I mean? Like, what if they make them like what they're trying to do? Like, they're probably going to make them fuckable at some point, like that fucking movie I saw like a year ago, you know? What if you go out and you fuck somebody else's robot, you know? Like, hey, that's my robot. You just came in my fucking robot. What the fuck? Even though it's self-cleaning and all that shit, I can't fucking do that, right? You're just really opening up a fucking can of worms there. All right, clown sightings. Oh, shit, Nia's calling me. My episode of The Simpsons is on tonight. Is it on?
What are you doing?
I'm doing the podcast.
I know, you're supposed to be done. It's on in like a minute.
Well, I can hit pause.
Well, hurry up.
Hey, come here.
What? I don't want to miss it.
Put your eyebrows down. You're like, what are you doing?
I don't want to miss it.
Hey, how nice is my car?
It's very nice. It's awesome.
Ugh. I thought you were going to go harder than that. I think we say it was like gorgeous. All right, how good was the potato pancake?
That was delicious. It was better than the restaurant.
Is it me or do you guys just have like distinct lack of fucking passion? This is totally you. Like, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do now. For the love of God, go fucking do it. And I'm sitting there like a little 6-year-old. Mommy, look what I can do. All right. Just hit pause. I'll be up there in a second.
I can't hit pause. There's no DVR.
Oh, all right. I know. This guy's fucking depression era fucking cable. All right. I'm just going to hit pause here, and then we'll come back and finish this. All right. You know, and after all that, it wasn't even on. She fucking went off on how great the potato pancake was. She thought the car was gorgeous. You see how they? You see what they do? You see what they do? All of a sudden, I'm fucking bragging a little bit. Ah, all goes out there. Always trying to fucking knock you down a little bit. All right, here we go. Clown sightings. You're listening to one right now. All right, clown sightings. Dear Freckles, have you heard about this clown hysteria? Sorry, have you heard about this clown hysteria? Freaks are dressing up as creepy clowns and going out in public trying to scare people. Yeah, I've seen those. Just search creepy clown sightings as a bunch of shit pops up. Other people are now starting to go out to go clown hunting and beating the shit out of clowns that they see in public. Now, how the fuck do you go about doing that? Isn't it? There's like 9 people in the country that have done that. Let's go out clown hunting. Like, where do clowns hang out? Do they have a natural habitat? Is there a bush you can go to? The clown bush? Shake it a little bit? Throw some rocks into it? Anyways, my question is, if one of these clowns charged at you, what would you do? Do you think it would be legal to run over / beat the shit out of the fuckers, or should you let the misfit go without harming him? Thanks, and go fuck yourself. I think at this point I've seen enough of those videos that somebody, if one of them came running at me with like dragging the body and it's just so fucking over the top, I don't know. But you'd have to, just out of respect for yourself, your own safety, you'd have to fucking back up or run away. Yeah, I mean, if a guy came running at me, because with my luck, this would be the guy who isn't fucking around. I'd be like, yo, what's up, YouTube, world star, whatever. Take a fucking axe to the head. But, you know, I don't think that you should go. Clown hunting to me is hilarious. Like, how the fuck would you even remotely begin to know where to look? You know what I mean? Like, there was that thing for a while where people were putting train horns in their vehicles. And those people should be prosecuted because, you know, my ears are fucked up from years of going to concerts and playing drums and shit. And like somebody did that one time when I went by. You know, it's funny watching people jump and shit, but like it was close enough that it did even more damage to my left ear, which is fucked up. And it's like that's something now that I have to live with because this person wanted to have a laugh. I mean, the ringing went away, but they definitely, when you do shit like that, I mean, you are asking for it. You shouldn't do it. Like the other people, you shouldn't go beat the shit out of the person. They're just fucking around trying to make a funny video. I mean, you really have to go beat the fuck out of them. But when you do scare somebody to that level, maybe that is a thing that you can kind of expect. I don't know what the rules of clowning is. All right, now she's texting me saying that it's starting. All right, hang on. Stopping again. Every time I get momentum, you know, we get a fucking holding call and it just kills the drive. All right, I'm back again. Guess what? It wasn't even the episode. It was the wrong episode. It was a pre-episode to the episode that they're going to show that I'm on. All right. Anyways. All right. Waterproof electronics. Waterproof electronics. All right. Dear Billy Wet Phone, just to let you know, the waterproof or water resistance rating on electronics is bullshit. The same goes for watches and any other water-resistant item. Here's how they determine the water resistance. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you pour water onto anything, it's going to gradually seep through, right? Although boats don't. that must have been the dumbest I've ever sounded. Boats do okay. They stick the phone in water in a water-filled tank and then increase the pressure until the phone has problems. The water in the tank is perfectly still, and the pressure simulates the depth below sea level. It's a bullshit test because the water you drop your phone into is probably splashing all about, and your phone is going to move in the water as it sinks. If you don't drop your phone into an ocean or a river, you might drop it into the kitchen full of detergent or some other situation that isn't perfectly still water pressurized under test conditions. It's another marketing trick, which technically legally correct for the fine print, but is bullshit for the day-to-day life. I don't know. It's got to be better than the shit that isn't waterproof, where you just fucking sneeze on it and it doesn't work. I know my watch, I kept wearing it while I was doing cardio, and all of a sudden it was fucked up, and it was just because it was on my wrist and just sweating every day. It got wet. I don't fucking know. I have no idea. It's probably all bullshit. I know when they do miles, you know, how much a car gets miles per gallon. They drive it like 1 mile an hour with no headwind for most of the fucking test. Cleo, what is going on with you, buddy? What is going on with you? Go lay down. Jesus Christ. Are you allergic to the rug every time you come down here? You start flipping out. All right. Let me do these last couple of reads and then I can finish with the questions here. Sorry for the whole fucking pause and then going on this week. All right. MVMT watches, everybody. Pronounced movement. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to say. All right. Movement watches, everybody, was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. The watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. With over 500,000 watches sold to customers in 160-plus countries around the world, Movement Watches has solidified itself as the world's fastest-growing watch company. Podcast/radio, evergreen copy. Why would you tell me that? What's the difference between this and what you'd say on television, I guess? The company started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches, but they couldn't afford them. So they started their own company. That sentence never makes sense to me. They're two broke college kids. They can't afford a watch, a stylish watch, so they start a company. I can't afford a G5 jet. I think I'll start a jet company. How is this like how you started, built a following, launched into podcasts, YouTube, radio, etc.? I'm not supposed to be reading this shit. Oh, I'm supposed to be like, oh, these guys remind me of how I did it. Movement Watches start, I don't know where I am in this copy right now. This is a shit show. Movement Watches start at just $95 at a department store. You're looking at $400 to $500. Movement figured out that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and retail markup, providing the best possible price. All right, we're making sense again. Over 500,000 watches sold in over 160 countries. Good for you. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns. Go by going to movementwatches.com/burr. That's MVMTwatches.com/burr. This watch has a really clean design. Seriously, you're going to love it. If you put it on, you're going to get compliments. Now's the time to step up your watch game without breaking the bank. Go to MVMTwatches.com/burr. It's fucking hilarious, right? I want a purebred dog. I can't afford one. So I started pure breeding dogs. That's not even a good example. I wouldn't even know how you'd fucking do that. I wanted my own island, but I couldn't afford one. So I bought islands. I started a company that made islands. Bill, we get it. All right. All right. Stamps.com! Everybody is the easiest and convenient way to get postage right from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. With Stamps.com, there's no guesswork. They make it easy to get exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail the instant you need it. I use Stamps.com to send out all my posters whenever I'm selling them, like next weekend, Saturday through fucking Wednesday in Washington, D.C. I'll have a poster. The tune-up for my special. Sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Burr, for this special offer. 4-week trial plus $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. You click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. There's no reason to keep going to the post office. All right? Okay. Let's get back to the fucking questions here. Let's see. Where the hell was I? Okay. Water. Dear Billy Wet Phone. All right. We did that one. Okay. This thing said, P.S. Keep a little black book full of your phone numbers from now on so that you never lose another contact. I'm actually doing that with a couple of little red books. I couldn't find the black ones. All right. CEO. Hey there, Billy Boss. If you could become CEO of any company for a couple of months, which company would it be and what would you try to change? Monsanto, and I'd stop poisoning the food. Old Anthony Monsanto, which is now owned by Bayer. Bayer doesn't care. Imagine you have a few months, so it's not like you get to get fired day one for joining Apple and changing the name to Orange for selfish purposes. Also, you pick Apple and can also pick any other company you talk less about as well. Ha ha, thanks for everything. I think I answered it. I think I also, my dyslexia kicked in and none of those sentences made sense to anybody. Those last two ones. What did it say? Oh, who gives a shit? Yeah, that's what I would do. I don't know. It would be nice if the way corporations were run, you know, at some point you made enough money and at some point you thought, well, hey, what would this be doing to the environment? Or what would this be? You know, I actually heard that they're lobbying. They got all these lobbies going on right now to make marijuana illegal again at the state level because allegedly prescriptions medication has dropped drastically in states where marijuana use is legal. And so they want to make it illegal again, evidently. My question is, well, why don't the big pharmaceutical companies just start making weed, you know, and phase out these other fucking pills? They're not working anyways. You know they don't work. You know all those fucking side effects. I mean, it's fucking nuts. This shit that you can take, literally, that's just for something like really basic. And if you get on it for a while, if you come off it too fast, there's the chance you might kill yourself. I mean, they never had stuff like that when I was a kid. You know, somebody was all over the place. They were called a spaz. The dude's a fucking spaz, man. He's all over the fucking place. You know what I mean? I know that's a bad word in Scotland. My apologies, but that doesn't mean shit to us. And you guys say cunt every other word. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. That's one of those super depressing kind of questions, because when you really think about it, there's really no fucking reason for our behavior towards one another. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think it just comes down to there's just really, you know, remember when you watched like Planet of the Apes? There was like the chimps. They were the fucking doctors. Then you had the orange ones. They were the old ones. And then you had the gorillas and they were like the fucking maniacs or whatever. Which was sort of oddly racist. They were the darkest of all the apes, you know what I mean? They were the worst, and I guess what? The chimps were subtly supposed to, I guess the orange ones were supposed to be gingers, and we were supposed to be the best of people. I don't know. You can always read into all of this shit, but like, I don't know. I think people are kind of like that, you know what I mean? You got fucking nice kind of, hey man, you know, whatever you fucking yapping, man, you know? And then you just got fucking complete psychos who would literally stab a baby in the head to get another inch forward, and I think those people really succeed in life. Like when you just don't give a shit about, you know, and I'm not saying I'm a fucking perfect person because I've done some horrific shit, but I'm just saying, you know, that's just the pain that I've caused on an individual level. Forget about if you're doing it at the fucking corporate level. I don't know. I just love those people go, well, if I didn't do it, someone else would be doing it. That's usually a nice red flag that you're doing something fucked up. But I really think that we are, this is depressing. You might want to shut it off now. I think we are, there's a flaw in our design and the way we are wired, it's inevitable that we're going to destroy ourselves. It's just, you know, and I really don't think that it's not even necessarily a human thing. It would be like whatever the next thing on the food chain was. If we weren't here, it would be taking too much and in its own fucking way would be fucking up the balance of nature and all that type of shit. But I don't know if I 100% believe that, but I just look at it that way because then I can deal with some of the shit like that I see. I do have to say, though, this presidential election and these two choices is one of the most depressing fucking things I've been around in a long fucking time. I just can't fucking believe it's a reality TV show star or the fucking devil. Oh boy. All right, Halloween costume. Let's get off that topic. Hey, Bill, when was the last time you dressed up for Halloween? 2 years ago, I dressed up as John Bonham. If you had to go to one of these celebrity dress-up parties, like where Heidi Klum goes all out every year and shows up looking like an extra from the Tom Cruise movie Legend, what would you dress up as? When millions of women look at a U.S. Weekly at the hair salon, who will they see Billy Redface dressed up as when they get to the celebrities wear stupid costumes just like us section? Well, first of all, those are all the beautiful people, so I'm out. I'm not in that section, so I don't think they were. But let's just say all the beautiful people got hit by a truck, and it got all the way down to I, you know, was in that thing. Let's see. I would probably, John Bonham, I've done that one enough. Who would I dress up as? Somebody, like, that's known but sort of obscure. Because you don't want to be, the, like, the 12th douche to show up, you know, dressed as, like, Donald Trump is going to be, like, the, everybody's doing that, or Hillary. You don't want to dress up as Steve Jobs. I still think he's fucking known well enough. You gotta dress up like, let's see here. Who'd be a good one? Who's a good fucking, they were the you know what I mean? Like, if you were going to dress up like somebody in, you know what? You got me. This is something. You just can't fucking pull this gem out. Like, you know what? Dressing up like the professor instead of Gilligan. It's basically that formula, but not that example. You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck lost the last presidential race? Obama ran against who? Was it McCain? I don't know, but Tina Fey did the fucking, the chick, she did that one to death. I don't know. You know something? Bill Belichick might be a good one. For as well known as he is, if I was out here in LA and I just dressed like him, I think people would love it. A hoodie with the fucking cut off sleeves. You just have it up, you know? Maybe him. You know what? I would go Vince Lombardi. Maybe an old football coach. Go out as Tom Landry. But I got to pick somebody with a fucking blockhead like mine. Something like that. Something along those lines. Rather than like the hacky ones. You don't want to go out as fucking Chewbacca. Anything from Star Wars. Any superhero. I mean, that's just fucking lame. Trump, Hillary, that's fucking lame. Obama, if you're me, you're going to get in trouble for being in blackface. So you got to leave them alone. Oh, shit. That's a good question. I'd go out as like Phil Rudd, drummer for AC/DC. And people say, who are you? I'd say Phil Rudd. And people said, who's that? And I'd be like, oh, you got to be ashamed of yourself. And you just walk away. So you get to like have a cool costume and scold people. There's a way to go. You know? Pick somebody who people you feel should know, but they don't know. Address is Clive Burr. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about anymore. All right, that's the podcast for this week, everybody. I'm going to watch those Formula One races. I'm hoping the Red Sox can come back. I just want to be able to sit down and watch a fucking game. I don't know anybody on the team. I know Pedroia and I know Big Poppy. And when he leaves, I'm just going to know Pedroia. Plus, this one Cleveland fan was like fucking talking shit to me, a buddy of mine. He's going, look, oh, fucking... You know, Tito's playing a chess game with the fucking Red Sox. And I jokingly wrote back, like, you don't need to talk to me. You don't need to talk to a Red Sox fan about Tito playing chess. I saw him play chess a few times when he was here. And it just completely went over the guy's head. You know what I mean? I don't know. So I'm just sitting there going like, hey, man, you guys are looking pretty good. Nothing. Our bullpen's dominating. We have a couple of injuries. And then Emil's just like, I hope you cunts don't win another one in 60 years. I was fucking rooting for you. Fuck. Do I have another phoner tomorrow? I have one phoner. This is when you call in. Oh, shit. I'll get up that early for these guys. Hey, I'm going to be on the Sports Junkies. I love these guys. I haven't talked to these guys in fucking forever. The Sports Junkies. I remember Lurch would always be fucking sitting there all splayed, like 6'10" guy. Always in sweatpants. I'm going to be calling in at 6:20 a.m., which is 9:20 Eastern time. Going to be calling that, and it's to promote my shows at the National Theater, October 15th through the 19th. 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th. 5 nights running my fucking mouth, getting ready for my special, and then I do the special, and then my fucking year is basically over. I'm just going to edit the rest of fucking season 2. I'm going to be doing Comics Come Home in Boston, And that's going to be about it. All right. Well, that's the podcast for this week. Once again, I really meant that about being able to buy that car. Thank you to everybody who came out to my shows throughout the fucking years. And that's it. Jacksonville, I hope you guys can dig yourselves out nice and quick. I bet the weather's nice now, now that it's fucking over. And I hope the insurance companies don't fuck you too bad. But either way, when you can go back to that city again, when I get my next hour, I'm definitely going to come through because Jacksonville is always going to be on my tour schedule. I always have a good time when I run through there. And who's kidding who? I got to get back to Gainesville to make that up, which I think I might be doing in February because in February, I'm going to be going to the Daytona 500. I've always wanted to go to that thing. Way back since Rusty Wallace, Harry Gant, Darrell Waltrip, Cale Yarborough, Bill Elliott, Rusty Wallace, right? Dale Earnhardt. Who else ran back then? Dick Trickle. All right. That's the podcast. Fuckos! I will talk to you. I'll check in on you on Thursday. I really had to try not to make a noise when I sat up there. Ugh. Doing that shit. All right.